the radio. Yes.
All right.
Just started.
But now we'll move into the budget workshop section.
Because I want Michael to, I don't want him to go through all this stuff. We honestly talked with Michael probably for a half hour before. He said, why are we behind the phone? He's got to drive across the road. And we don't want to be here until 9 o'clock tonight because we put in the darn thing. No. Okay. Here we go. So where we at, Kirsten, on what's left to really discuss?
Yeah, what's the magic?
What is this magic?
Yeah, where's the magic wand? Make sure
well,
it's still
in the number that Michael's going to be doing. So I've never done it. I just put in off based off the tentative number from last year, but you started a different number. So I kind of worked on that this afternoon, but he's still got to do it. So I just think this is hopefully.
Yeah, I can drop those numbers in tomorrow. I just need an updated budget based on what
after
you have. And then, yeah, after tonight, Dale and I had some discussions earlier today. About an hour or so, and we fine-tuned a few things, and I don't know, did you print out those revised numbers? Or?
Yeah, I did. I mean, we're still back to the loader, depending on when we buy it. So we can put the down payment in for 2022. We still bought that up to 52.5. We're like, right, Kirsten, Kirsten says, how are we going to do that on the way home? So it's, you know, if we buy it, you know, because we didn't budget to buy it this year, so if we buy it in 2022,
yeah.
we put $30,000 back in there to assist with the down payment, we have $60,000 in reserve plus this money we're putting in there. Where we counteracted that, we're not paying the bond or the debt service in 2022, so we remove the
gotcha.
We moved
the bond payment will last until 2023.
Or I talked to Sean, so I said, Sean, what do you want to do? But you know, we entertain trying to really move forward quickly this year and you know get it done.
So it's a wash. It's just
we're shifting.
All we do is change one line difference to another. It didn't change anything.
It's a $3 million
budget.
It just depends on what if you want to buy it like right now.
No, I thought we were all it was happening next year anyway. That's what
it is.
Yeah.
Well, next year is in a few months.
Right, but not this
year. And then the debt really won't be due.
Right, because if we're going through a bond process, then
right.
We wouldn't be able to buy it this year.
No.
So we're back to 52.5 there. We reduce the debt services. I think that's really pretty much the only bigger changes we made. And the fund balances. Fund balances, I think that's going to be copies for everybody here. Sure.
Can't hurt to have it.
Thank you. adjustments are Pearson on Excel, and that's kind of what it looked like.
And that's again, taking the debt services, changing that, and just shifting that 30 on the highway stuff. So that's where it came out. On the tax bill, it would say 2.86. In the town, it would really be a 1.32% increase in actual taxes. In the village, if it stands away, it would be 4.2%.
Or $13.19 on 100,000.
Correct. So here, right. So
an assessed value.
Yeah, so it's a $250,000
right, house. $26,
$35
right.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right. There's not a lot of assessed houses for $250,000. Right?
That would be a $500,000 house.
Yeah.
Maybe that would redevelop in 15 years. So. That's a big expense.
Our average assessed house is probably about 100,000.
We're only 52%. Somewhere we can go, somewhere we gotta really look.
If you did that, you could not do anything with the taxes.
Right.
With the tax rate and just pick up the revenue based on assessed value. But
exactly. Again, right now we don't have that kind of money to do. So anyway, if your house is assessed, it would be a $200,000 house in essence, it has to do your taxes about $13.19 in the village and $9.08. And the calculation on the other thing, once you and that.
Do you want me to go plug these in quick so you can see what that,
if you want to do that?
And then you guys know kind of, and just knowing he's going to actually do it.
and you got the debt service one, Kirsten, and the
52.5 for the machinery, and then the debt line goes back to 63.
You got it. That's the line I think I believe I touched it, and then the fund balance. So that's it.
Just so you know, I mean, you got the start of this year, you had $650,000 in the general fund, in the A fund balance, which is less than my kind of rule of thumb, but seems to be holding. We think you're probably going to add some money to it this year. I think some of the revenues came in a little higher, particularly the mortgage recording taxes. So we should probably add to fund balance, and so that's why we're looking at it. You know, Dale and I talked. I said, well, we're using the 40 to balance the budget, but we really don't think we're going to use it because we believe the revenues are going to be a little bit higher than what we budgeted, trying to do conservative. And you know, if we spend every dollar that we budgeted and we get more revenues, then we're going to add to fund balance. We won't have to use that 40,000.
That's the goal. Because we did lower their, you know, our court revenues by 30,000, so we got that to a more realistic number this year as well. So.
And you don't know what's going to happen with the court, with the picking up the village stuff, right? I mean, you're hoping, what we need to watch there is we need to make sure that the increase in the expense side, like the revenue, you know, the revenue increase, so it's kind of a zero-sum game, or it's not costing you guys to pick up the village court?
Right now.
Well, it is.
It is. Right now it has.
Well, right now, right.
But in 2021, well, but again, it's such an odd situation with COVID that, I mean, in the past, there was a $300,000 revenue expectation, and I believe we came close of, you know, hitting that. Last year during budget, we thought the village might bring in $30,000 additional. That didn't happen, so we lowered it.
Mm-hmm.
On the good note, we didn't add a lot of expense to the village. I mean, we did bump up each court clerk, I think, $2,700. So that's say $6,000, $7,000, and you know, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Part time,
and we just put another $20,000. So you know, we might have added $30,000 or $35,000 in cost in that building in the end.
That's what it sits right now. If court is 300, we'll still net $50,000.
Right, but the truth is, from where we were before, we took them over. We had 300. Mm-hmm. If we had 300,000 then, and we have 300,000 now, in the end, it's not a deficit to it.
The village doesn't. It's all the criminal stuff that comes into it. That doesn't make a sense.
Well,
most of that money goes to the state problem.
Yeah. Well, that is, you know, shoplifting, because all the big box stores are in town.
Yeah. It's
a lot of criminal and eviction versus speeding tickets and.
You know, in the past, maybe they had cell phone stings out here or seatbelts over there. In some years, in the last 5 or 6 years, they generated a couple hundred thousand dollars. That just doesn't seem to be.
Thanks, Kristen.
So, in the end, the village courts could end up costing us, you know, $30,000 to $40,000.
Well, that's why the state gave us that extra $102,000
or so. We got the right thing to get sent into it.
Fund balance, all you're really doing, you're pushing that problem down.
You're taking the fund balance. Right.
you know, whether it's you guys on the board or, you know, new people. But every time you take that money out of fund balance to balance your budget to try to keep your this tax rate in line, all you're doing is pushing that problem off.
Right, but we corrected that problem last year.
We corrected a lot of that problem last year because we brought our revenue up. We had to, we couldn't stay afloat otherwise. I mean, because, you know, these our expectations on certain revenue lines were $200,000 plus, and that went on, you know, as we did for, you know, multiple years. And next thing you know, you can't maintain it.
Right.
But my whole future is just a little each year.
Correct, I agree with you. Yeah.
And 2% costs go up. I mean, cost of living is, you know, inflation is 3.3.
I mean, our spending, I mean, if I had the first chart, I don't have that, it's exactly, but it wasn't really like 900, you know, I mean, it didn't cost us a lot of money to, you know, increase, you know, the town budget to keep it in spending.
Yeah, I mean, your original one was at 2.15, or the one that I at least saw. You know, so you could give back, take out that $40,000 and go back up to somewhere around that 2.1 number. You know, I don't know how.
I mean, that was the cap when I first got on the board. It was 2. Whatever, yeah. And then just dwindled.
And last year was like 1.6.
Yes,
even more difficult. But we're raising.
Everybody's doing highway garages. I said, yeah, because OSHA's changing all the rules, and and people can't comply with the current facilities, can't comply with some of the rules, so they have to go to a new facility. So, I mean, it's just, as they make more and more rules, it's going to get to the point where, you know, so you need to start reserving and planning for some of those long-range things.
Like a telephone.
I mean, we have enough, just to get the facade in front of this pink painting. Now, I mean, those are things, so we got places where we need some cash, that's for sure.
I personally would take the 8 foot 40 out.
What's our payment for this bond that we were talking about closing out? Why don't we close that damn thing out?
We have a bond that we took out to redo the back of the building. It's very restrictive.
So is it a bond or is it a bank?
It's a bond.
It's a bond.
We should either pay it off or get some prices and see if we can really do the, you know. I think we got $240,000-$250,000 available. If we can get that work done for $250,000, we should be getting some
money.
We've already paid the interest on the principal.
And have less restrictive, so
the interest on the principal already, so that was really low. It doesn't make sense to start another one.
$400,000 at the end of 2020.
Yes.
And you're at 1.2%, which really isn't that bad of a rate. I mean,
you're not going to get better money out.
And most of the expense of that loan has already been incurred. You know what I mean? Because now we're way down on the path as far as your principal is.
I mean, you're paying roughly $75,000 a year on the principal.
Right.
That's what last year.
What's the interest left? What are we paying a year on that?
Well, it's 1.2%.
So 700-800.
Yeah.
And how many years are left on that?
It matures 2025.
But with our balance, we should see if we're balance. If we can get that job done with that balance, in 3 years we're out from underneath that, we got our building repaired.
And there's 75,000 off.
Well, that's in the budget now. Reassign, you know, whether it's equipment reserve or
money. It's not enough to be the back wall, and that's all we can use it for. That's why we haven't done anything.
Have we ever got prices enough to know that?
Yes.
With the masons, should we do part of it, do the concrete and work and all that, and at least
this bond was taken to replace the windows and the back wall.
Back one. So not the concrete.
Not the concrete.
And it's spelled out in the bond.
That was just, you have a water bond maturing in 2022, which will free up $41,000
part.
Yes. Right. You have. That's a copy of the lease.
But getting back to your thing here is about dropping the whole 40 out of the A fund. That really puts a big burden on the village residents.
Yeah. Well, if you drop the 40 and bring the village back up to 50, it puts it at that 2.1.
Then you're saying like we bring the village to 50,000 or something?
Well, that's where you had it. The original one that I got.
Yeah, that is cool.
He had nothing on general and had 50 on the village. And you were at 2.15.
Yeah, the general is the village, so the top line. Right?
He's talking about the highway.
The highway village, you dropped to 40. It was 50 on this.
On the highway.
Correct. Right. Yeah. On the highway. And that's where it brought your rate to 2.15.
Are you suggesting to make it make a change there?
Well, if you drop the 40,
yeah.
I would push the village back up $10,000
to 50. Right,
and that will pull down the cost of the village.
Right, so we can put 50-30 and just allocate that differently. Right, we can put 50. We can put 50 up in the A fund and drop the DB fund to 30.
No.
No. here's what you had this morning at 8 o'clock when this came. So you had 0 in the general.
Yeah.
And you had 50 in the highway.
Correct.
And these were your numbers. There was 2.15. The village was that, right? So if you, if you go back to that, put that and take that 40 out of there and make push that back up 10 from 40 to 50. Because right now you put 40, 40, and 40.
Correct.
So if you take that out and push that back up to 50, it will go back to these numbers. Because the money you moved in the highway was budget neutral. We just moved it from one line to the other line. So right now you have that at 40. Which is right, means which is means you're using less fund balance.
On the DB.
On the DB, and you had 40 up here.
Right, 40.
And what he's proposing is he doesn't want to do that 40. And then you said it's going to make the village too high. But right. So but if you push the village back to 50, it's going to drop back down to the numbers you had over here.
What so what you think you put a 0 up on it now?
Well that's what he's saying. He didn't want to use any. He didn't want to use any fund balance.
If you do that, Kirsten, that's going to scream, isn't it?
Do 0 on the A fund.
That's like you're. You think that's a fund?
I don't know. Your.
I don't think that's
taxpayers
and everything else.
But honestly, from my standpoint, you don't have enough general fund balance. I mean, you got $640,000 on.
Right, it's not going to be enough, but it'd be lower. That number 4.20 is going higher.
The 4.20 said it goes back to your 2.1. They had.
It goes back to this. It's exactly what we got before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no change.
Where do you start? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it goes back to this one.
This year in the town is because the
know, this Jefferson sewer bill.
So
we got to take in, you know, certain people where I live out in the country where I don't have any of those services, I'm just going to pay 1.32.
Right.
But if you live in Jefferson or Lee,
you're going to
take it in there. We're also looking at the, you know, the fire departments. They're going to get a little bit of a bigger bump in there. So you got to, I mean, you got to look at how it's affecting
everybody.
It's just not your house. You know,
your house is going to get paid.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that doesn't mean the village is going to feel the same pain.
Right.
But the percent of town tax that village residents pay is a fraction of town tax town residents pay.
Half, right? Half.
So for years I've argued they don't support the ambulance enough.
How much is your village, your town tax in the village?
He said it'd be $100,000 house, it'd be $327.50.
Yes, yeah, more than that. I can say that right now. My town tax was.
And this is such various, like 86.
86,000.
So you're paying under 300. You're paying, if it was 100,000, you'd pay 327, and somebody out in the country is going to pay just under 700. 698 would be fine.
See, but.
Point? You see the point that they're paying for other services in the village, too.
But the village. So the ambulance provides village to all residents,
yeah.
Service to all residents.
Yeah.
And when they need that service, they pay for it through the county as well.
Correct.
That's why it's in the neighborhood. My opinion.
That's why
I... I mean, what did it go up, what did it go up last year?
80.
If it was over, it's like 80 or 86 dollars.
Yeah, but the percentage, and the percentage was in the... It was
13.
It was way in the double digits. It was in the 19, the low teens.
Yeah.
13%.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You got enough out of
it. You got enough out of it. And I think... Everybody comes from different walks of life, you know.
I'm good.
220.
Right, but if it's, like we and I said to you on the phone, if you can show that it's for the ambulance service, you know, to have the coverage and have everything out, you don't want to be the third person having a heart attack on a two-man or a two-crew ambulance service, because it's right. So they're willing to pay a little bit more if that's where the costs are, assuming you kept all your other costs in mind,
right.
You know.
And last year that was how it was presented.
Yeah.
Because that was a couple, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 of that line that we had to go up was strictly for ambulance. And the people realized that, I think, for the most part, they were.
Well, that's going to impact them the most. If they need it, they want to be able to pick up the phone and have that ambulance show up. And they're willing to pay for that.
But like I said, if you take less than that line, it's going to raise up the 1.32 a little bit too. Do you want any input on what you want to think about here?
Explain to us why the sewer district doesn't come out like the fire districts do.
I don't understand your...
Why does the sewer district count towards the cap?
Towards the cap.
But the fire districts don't?
Because the fire district is actually its own taxing authority. All you're doing is collecting the money for them. They set their own tax rate.
Yep.
They set their own budget. And you're just acting as a conduit. So that's why it gets subtracted out of there. And the actual sewer district is a town-run...
Right, but it's just for a certain portion of the town, so why does it count for the entire town?
It should only... The sewer tax rate should only apply to people in the sewer district. If you're not in the sewer district, that doesn't show up on your tax rate.
Right, but he's saying is why does the total
fixed tax rate...
Yep.
For everybody.
For the entire town.
It does affect the tax cap rate because it's a town run. The fire district is not a town run
entity.
Program. It's its own entity that's basically just using you as a collection.
So that's basically what the sewer
question to give the sewer.
It is too. I mean,
it's not
the fire
budget. You guys have control of the sewer budget.
Right.
have no control. The fire district could come in here and say, we're going to $500,000 budget.
Yeah.
And you guys can't say yes or no.
Right.
And then, I mean, all you do is take their number and put it on here. The sewer district can come in and say, hey, this is what we want. Before you guys can chop it.
That's the best explanation we've gotten in 4 years.
And on those lines, and on those lines.
Here's how you exactly. You don't control the fire.
That's why we control the district. Is why it has to.
You control the district. You can decide what that budget's going to be.
Just like
so it's in the town. It's in the town.
So we gave the district to the village.
Right, and that's their beneath. That's why Piscataway is because they have their own taxing authority in Piscataway, so is Allenville.
Right.
Where we make this. Right. We're going to make a decision on right. what that was.
Right. Well, that is different. But basically, the sewer district is the same thing that really the fire department because it's only affecting those certain people.
Yep.
Right. But this particular.
That's my only angle on this.
Right. But this board makes a decision on how much we're going to raise for that sewer district.
Right.
When the bond, we control the contracts that go to sewer district.
I understand that. It only affects that core group of people up there.
Yeah, we never. It affects
everybody.
Right. It's really everybody's city.
It only affects everybody as far as the tax cap. But only
right.
people
right. Right. It's only related to the tax cap, right. which right. really doesn't affect an individual. It only, the tax cap is a number that you guys have to deal with.
Right.
Okay? But like the sewer district, if you live in the sewer district and I don't, I could care less what the sewer district goes up because I'm not paying.
Right.
You know, and it's broken down on everybody's
right.
bill.
Right.
And the difference between your fire protection and your fire district is you're negotiating that contract for the fire protection, mm-hmm. and that's why that stays in there because
right.
it's you have say as to what you're going to pay or. However you negotiate that. The fire district, like I said, they just come in and say, they have their own public hearing, they have their own thing, if nobody shows up, here, we want $300,000 this year. And that's what's going to happen soon, because we've had this conversation. At some point in time, you're going to see all these volunteer companies have to go to some kind of paid company, because they're not getting volunteers.
That's just it.
I mean, I saw it happen in one of my other towns. They're an ambulance company. One of them, I told you this before, but they couldn't cover from 8 in the morning to 8 at night because all their volunteers worked out of the area and everything. One year in the budget, they came in, they told them that we had to come up with $250,000 in the budget in 1 year.
For a 12-hour shift.
For 12 hours, for four people. Two shifts, two guys on a crew, two separate crews, and that's where I come up with the analogy. If you're the third heart attack in that hour, your ambulance is coming from 45 minutes away to get to your house because the two that are in your community are already out. And when we, they were screaming about the increase in the tax rate because of that, and I gave them that explanation, and I said, do you want to be the third hour now? What are you willing to pay for that? And kind of ended the discussion. But that's where we're going. And that's where you need to start looking. And that's why you need to build up some fund balance. Because at some point in time, you're paying for ambulance service right now. But like we talked today, my good friend runs the Greenport Ambulance over in Columbia County. And they're looking at, hey, we lost this guy to, this for an extra dollar an hour. They just raised their rates from whatever they were. They went across the board $3 or $4 an hour because they want to get the people. They want to have the crews, and it's a busy. So what's that mean for you? And then when your guys find out, hey, I can make $3 more an hour over there. And it's cost me $1.25 to go across the bridge. I might as well go over there and work. And then it's going to force you guys to raise rates. And it's going to force everybody, all the other communities.
That just a vicious cycle. That's just going to happen.
Right.
Until they get to a spot where that's
right.
An industry
that thing. Exists a lot of like we did on mechanics right now because
But I mean the fire. It's a matter of time before the fire districts come to you and say, we can't, we don't have enough volunteers, so you're going to have to do something. And hopefully it will be addressed at the county level. That's what we're hoping for, across the river. That's the county.
That's the board of supervisors over there. It's much more intelligent. Off the record.
But, you know, I mean, it's going to be a huge hit at one point.
But it's something that you got to keep in the back of your mind, because that scenario could play out in 5 years.
And that's why you need to keep, that's why you kind of constantly need to be building your fund balance, and you need to have, you know, think about what could happen if, you know, if it snows, starts snowing in December, and doesn't stop until March. I mean, which is possible. I mean, you can get tons and tons of snow, and you can eat up your highway budget in a heartbeat, and blow through your fund balance. You had to buy more saw, you had to pay overtime.
And we said you have all this, you know, I don't want to say, you know, but extreme weather things are happening in different fashions, and so you don't know what kind of, you know, where that's all going to end.
It's going to be all rain this winter.
Uh-huh.
We told you
they said it's going to be cold and a lot of rain, they did. At least the farmers told that. It's
cold and rain.
So it's going to be the icy roads with a lot of snow.
Could be.
Right.
Why don't we just use, instead of 40, do 20?
Run that number. Can you run that number?
Please. Sorry, Kirsten.
So 20, 40, 6, 40. Just change 8 to 20?
Yeah, put 8 to 20.
Why? Hold on a minute. I mean, you keep running up the stairs.
Are you in favor of doing that? If you're not, then we shouldn't be running up
right
now.
I'm not. Patrick's not.
No.
Are you?
No.
So there's no sense. Thank you.
Okay.
I just, for 8 years, we robbed the folks.
I mean, this is a big rock. Do you want to run it for the whole? I mean, this is it, and then that's.
No, everyone's.
This is the last run if we're running.
I'm the minority for everyone's. It doesn't matter.
I mean, the numbers can help people. I mean, like I say, it's another $20 is what it comes down to.
No, that's right, because it was 20 if it took it all. It would be 10.
All right. Your general fund balance, in my opinion, is low. I mean, if you take 6 months of your expenses, it should be about $1.6, $1.7 million that you should keep in your fund balance. You have $650. Okay?
So
you're probably going to add, based on looking at numbers, we might add $100,000 this year. And then, depending on what we do with ARPA,
right. Could be another $100.
Could be another $100. So maybe it could go to $850. But that's a long way from the 1.6 that, as a rule of thumb, having 6 months on hand, you know, in case of emergencies, that's a long, you know, you got to add $100,000 a year for, you know, the next 5 or 6 years to get it up to where it really should be.
I mean, I'm more comfortable. I mean, I know it's not where we want to be. I'm more comfortable where we are. I mean, but before we were going through the midst of COVID, I wasn't comfortable with it. So, I mean, it's always nice to have somebody behind you that you know you can weather a storm or two storms of that nature for sure. Do you want to look at it?
The way I look at it is putting 40 there helped the tax number. I don't believe you're going to spend that 40.
I don't either.
Just because in looking at some of the other things in the budget being a little conservative, which you have to be, because you don't know where your mortgage recorded tax is coming in.
Right.
You know, a lot of these people that are coming up from the city and buying property are paying cash, so there is no mortgage. Okay. Now,
living here and turn around and sell it.
Right. And you know, if they go and paying cash and then go back and cash out and get a mortgage, so they have their cash back, then you might get some mortgage recorded tax. But that might not happen this year.
Right.
They may, you know, especially now, the next 2 months, they may buy property and then mortgage it February. You know, so you're not going to get that money until almost a year and a half away. So, you know, we're a little conservative there, and if that number comes up higher, you won't use that for it.
Right. The only place we're not conservative, probably, we're close, is the court revenue. That's the only one that I think, you know, is
right.
Ambulance, I think we're, I think I'm comfortable hitting that next year. I think we're, and I'm optimistic that we're going to hit it this year. But you know, it's hovering where right exactly where we should be. And it would be nice if they could come back and they you know, if we have a normal 22, that can generate another 100K maybe at the most.
Yeah, I mean, you have a normal 22, it could be another 50 easy, and then you'll never even touch that 40.
Right.
But 40 pushes the tax rate down a little bit, you're giving a little bit back, and your hope is that you're not going to use it. But I agree 100% with you. I don't like giving money back when my fund balance is short, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right. And that's the thing, and then just because we have that money, that doesn't mean you have to spend everything that you budgeted for. You can rein yourself in a little bit on those type of items.
It's just like every time
we had our IT people in, I guess that was last night. So if we didn't spend through that money this year and had a $10,000, you know, we're looking to reserve that for IT and roll that into 22 or 23 or whatever.
But I mean, in the last couple of years, it's probably been better to borrow money than to spend your own cash because interest rates were so low.
Right.
You know, they're giving it away. I mean, we're in contact with the Bank of Green County today and one of my other towns. They have a band which we want to renew. They're renewing it at 0.45. You know, it's a 1 year bond, you know, it's a 1 year bond anticipation note. But I mean, that's, it's a $491,000 bond, you know, $500,000, and they're going to give it to us less than 50, you know, 5 basis points. So,
right,
just so it's like, yeah, you know, it's like with this loader, we're going to borrow $100,000, or we should be able to just pay for it.
You should be able to pay for it, and the way that you pay for it is when this bond matures. And it's 40. You take that 40 and you put it into a capital equipment reserve. Okay, so it doesn't come out of your budget. You put it in there, now you have 40,000. Next year comes around, now you have another 40,000. So now you got 80 grand in reserves for the equipment. So when this comes time to buy this loader again, you're pretty much paying cash for it.
Right, or, you know, because on that line we're talking, you know, that's why we still got the 22.5 in there, because we still need that 5 year plan. What, we're buying a loader this year. What's projected in 23, 24?
Right.
You know, and that's where the 22.5, I mean, I'm not looking to spend that 22.5 this year at all. I want to put that in, hopefully, if we don't, something doesn't go wrong, we can put that in the reserve because we're, you know, starting to talk about a dump truck.
Right, and then, you know, we also got to start looking at a lot of the shared services. You know, some of the towns are not even buying a loader because they're having an agreement with, you know, one the county or one of the other municipalities, and that says, hey, if we need a loader, you guys, you'll send yours over with a driver or an operator. They'll do the work, you pay them, and then if you need something, we'll send our guys over there and we pay them. They're not changing it; just a shared. It's a budget neutral type of a thing. We're paying for our own guys, but they're working on your stuff today. Next week or 2 months from now, we may need help paving a road or something like that. And you send a truck and a driver, and you know, which is what the past governor, when he put that all into play, that's what he wanted to do. He was trying to get some of these municipalities to realize you don't need all your own equipment and all. You can borrow somebody else's over here. You know, if we have a sweeper and you have a roller, and we need to roll, you know, we need the roller to do work, you come over with your guy so that you're not pointing fingers saying you broke our roller. No, it was your guy operating it. He did what he did. And hey, you want to borrow our sweeper? Okay, we'll come over and we'll sweep your street for it or whatever.
We do a lot of that now. You know what I mean? In Green County.
Yeah.
Anytime the town itself or the, you know, the county sends trucks or the county's paving, you know, the village or town brings their trucks or they need a roller or loader or paver or
yeah,
exactly. You know, we're pretty sweet. I sacked through all these
consolidation meetings. And one thing that could have saved everybody money, they wouldn't let us do. Do a health care consortium.
Right, consortium.
They wouldn't, right? So why bother going through this whole...
And you know why that was? Because the healthcare industry has a huge lobby.
Right.
And they, you know, right. So they're not going to...
So he's taking, care, he's, taking, right, he's taking care of his buddies, exactly. Rather than taking care of the town. So, I mean, it's... That's my take on it.
It's all like the door.
Hey, we like it where we are?
Yep.
Patrick, we're good where we are. Save it. No other changes. Nope.
What is where we are?
This last
40,
year.
40, 46, and 40.
We're keeping 40 in the. Okay.
Yes.
40, 48, 40, 46, 40. Okay.
So if you redo all of that and send me the whole Excel file.
Yes.
And then I'll go on and we'll come back to it.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You
yeah. Well, we
or just press
you can see this one. This is last year.
Yeah.
So that's the number.
It just carries
up. It should have been
up.
It
wasn't
up.
I didn't open it.
Oh, you didn't open it.
Only you and
John. So what's going to happen is that number should
just auto populate.
And some of these will auto populate.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know where you pull those from.
I just want to auto populate. So.
Yeah.
And then this number for the pilot thing, I sent you the information.
Pretty sure the second. 6 o'clock again?
6:15.
6:15?
Yes.
Yes, 6:15.
That
we're good.
All right, so there is a kind of council board hereby schedule a public hearing for the 2022 preliminary budget on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021 at 6:15 p.m. at Town Hall. Need a motion?
Motion.
Motion by Don Scantigo and second by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Do we need a motion to adopt this attentive list for tonight?
You just did it. You just did it. Yep. So you can't make any changes until after your public hearing.
Correct.
Right.
And I believe Michael said, I don't know, I think he told me that you could always go down, but you can't go, once you cannot go up. Anyway. Let's see, that's the workshop minutes. The other one, I said that after the ARPA money.
Could we pass the resolution 101, though, to schedule the public hearing for Malden West Camp fire contract?
Here we go. Next motion, we got to schedule a public hearing for the Malden West Camp fire contract, whereas the contract fire protection services with the County Council and the Malden West Camp Fire Company is expiring on December 31st, 2021. Whereas the proposed contract for the fire service is $5,000 a year beginning January 1, 2023 through December 31st, 2026. So therefore, we, the Castle Town Fire, we have scheduled a public hearing for the Malden West Camp Fire Company and County Castle Fire Contract for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021 at 6:10 p.m. at Castle Town Hall. Any motion? Motion by Patrick, second by Dwayne. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion is okay. I don't know if we need a motion, but I got an email from Associations of Towns. I don't know if Liz had it up there. It sounds like the Senate passed another amendment to the ARPA Area Rescue Plan. So they kind of have it where right now we have to calculate our losses, and in there, I can read them and see what this letter says. Here we go. Dear Congressman, so this would be going to Delgado. The town of Castle is writing to urge supporters of measures similar to those found in S-3001-1, with significant expands the eligibility for the American Rescue Plan Act funding from local government, specifically a spending that will allow localities to allocate up to $10 million of their ARPA funds to provide government services without calculating the loss of revenue. Really, that's what it allows towns to use. $10 million or 30% of its allocation, whichever is more. So we don't have the more. Under the separate provision of the infrastructure-related activity, authorizing federal government service transportation, was Title I and Housing and Community Development Act of 1974, allows funding to be used to provide emergency relief for natural disasters or negative economic impacts of natural disasters, including temporary emergency housing, food assistance, financial assistance, lost wages, and other immediate needs. While we are grateful for the ARPA funding expanding eligibility, use this to allow more flexibility and will clear up some of the confusion that has arisen surrounding how the use of these funds. And more importantly, it will allow the towns to better serve their communities and use the funds where it is most useful and most